Yesterday, we heard Jesus speaking at the Last Supper say that he has much more to tell us, but that we cannot bear it now, and that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead us into all truth. So with that in mind, we can say our whole journey now, in fact, our whole Christian life is the process of receiving more of what God wants to give us by the power of the Spirit. We can't bear it on our own. We can't even see it. We can't understand it. We're left in a kind of darkness. But the more we can yield to the Holy Spirit and the more we continue the process of growing as disciples, the more we can bear and the more we can share with others. So this is, you could say, one way of understanding the whole Christian life. But in the process, there are lots of ups and downs and lots of moments of joy and moments of grief. Some things we understand, some things we don't understand. Just to make a liturgical application to this, we're in this unusual situation where some people are celebrating the Ascension today and some people are not. Today's the 40th day after Easter, so the scriptural application is that today's the Feast of the Ascension. In some places, including here in the Philippines, the Feast of the Ascension is transferred to Sunday. So we're not celebrating it yet, but some people are. And this is a kind of unusual situation. It made me think of the discussion that was taking place recently, earlier this year, during the Jubilee year, the question of whether the Christians can finally unite in agreeing on the date of Easter. Now, this is not a discussion that goes anywhere in the Philippines because we don't have many Eastern Rite Christians here who follow a different calendar. But in Europe, where you could have Catholic churches and Orthodox churches on the same street and they're not celebrating Easter on the same day, it's really weird. And you say this is the most central thing of the Christian life, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of all the things that unites Christians, you would think Easter would be the one, but no, we can't do it. We haven't been able to figure out how to agree on that. And Pope Francis had mentioned that it happens during the Jubilee year that the celebration of Easter is the same for both calendars, and he expressed the hope that we can work this out and celebrate Easter together every year, but it hasn't happened yet. Anyway, if we say, gosh, how can the Eastern Christians, Eastern Orthodox Christians and the Roman Catholics, how can they come together? Well, here, even within the Roman Catholic Church, we can't agree on what's the Feast of Ascension or when should we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. So it's not that easy. There are always good arguments on both sides. And we have to live with a certain kind of unsettledness or unfinishedness as we journey along. It's just simply part of our life. And there's lots of things that we could wish were different, but they're not yet. So let's work with what we have. To make it even more complicated, today's the feast of Saint Pope Paul the VI, great pope of, I'd say, of our lifetime, at least for boomers or anybody over 60 or so what could remember Paul the VI. He was the pope who guided the church through the tumultuous years after the council. In fact, through the council to its conclusion in the early 60s, and then through the 60s and into the 70s, where the church and cultures were going through all kinds of radical changes, and Pope Paul the VI was the one holding the rudder of the boat and during these stormy times. And he suffered a lot for it, as we know. But if we're celebrating the Ascension today, you can't celebrate Paul the VI. So we have the advantage here, we can celebrate Paul the VI because it's not Ascension. But if today's Ascension, his feast day would have to be set aside in honor of the solemnity. Okay, complications. Well, that's just the way life is. Let's look at today's readings. Jesus, after saying that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide us into all truth, Jesus spoke in a kind of mysterious way in the rest of yesterday's gospel about how the Spirit will take what is his and give to us, and how he would get from the Father what he gets from the Father and give it to us. And there's kind of a, whenever we start talking about the dynamic of the persons of the Trinity, we start to think, I don't understand it. Well, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say, this is the very next verse, a little while, and you will no longer see me, and again, a little while later, and you will see me. So he has something very specific in mind, but the disciples don't know what he's talking about, and they frankly say it. We don't know what he means. He keeps talking about a little while, going to the Father, coming back, going to prepare a place, all these things. We don't know what he's talking about. Well, that's part of our journey. We don't always understand everything that God is doing or revealing. Not in the moment, but with the Holy Spirit, we can be sure we will be led into all truth. So we don't have to be upset by it. We have to recognize our limitations and keep journeying with the Lord, journeying in faith. The journey of faith, after all, is not by sight. We don't see it all, but we believe, we trust. I think I've used this example in the past, this idea of a little while. They don't understand what's a little while. And some of it has to do with the ambiguity of language. When I first arrived in the Philippines, I learned this expression, sandali lang, sandali lang, sandali, sometimes just dali. It becomes shortened in German. And one of the translations for that is for a while. That's legitimate, but sometimes it doesn't work. So I remember calling, I don't know who, Father so-and-so, may I speak to Father so-and-so? And then the person answered, say, for a while. I said, I can only speak to him for a while. I went up to him for a long time. I didn't understand but that's an example. Now, languages, for a while, can mean different things. Sandalina can mean a few different things. A little while can mean different things, depending on your perspective. What's a little while for God might be for us an eternity, a lifetime. And when we're suffering, this is the truth, when we're suffering, time slows down. And it seems like it's lasting a long time. Joyful moments go by like that. So our experience of time is also kind of relative to our state, our emotional state. Well, Jesus is speaking, first of all, of what is about to happen. This is the Last Supper. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be killed. In fact, in less than 24 hours, he'll be in the tomb. And for that little while that he's in the tomb, they will not see him, and they will grieve. But we know that on Easter morning, he will rise from the tomb, alleluia, and people will start to see him. The apostles are not the first ones. Well, Peter, Mary Magdalene, the two apostles on the road, finally by Easter night, which is, this is Friday, Saturday, the third night after he says this, they see him, and their hearts rejoice. So that's the first level that he's referring to here, a little while, a little while. They don't get it yet, but they will. They'll understand it within a few days. But there's another application to this, which I think Jesus also means to give us, that is that every experience of suffering or of sorrow is a little while, and it will give way in a little while to joy. So not only Good Friday to Easter Sunday, but any experience of weeping and mourning and grieving. He says this at the end. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. This is a faith statement, that grief can become joy, which, when we're grieving, is very hard to believe, because we're grieving. It seems like, and we shouldn't be. Why is the Lord doing this? Why has the Lord allowed this? Why am I suffering this? Why are my loved ones suffering this? Of course, those questions come to mind. And we say, well, why don't I have joy now? Why do I have to wait through this process of grieving? That's the process. But the surety of faith is grief will become joy if we persevere. If we are following the Spirit who is leading us into all truth, grief becomes joy. I think it's in tomorrow's gospel when Jesus will make the comparison to a woman in labor. I think that's tomorrow, so we'll hold off on that. But that's a great example of grief becoming joy. St. Paul, the example that we're referring to every day now during these later days of the Easter season, is an example, of course. He's very familiar with this process of grief becoming joy. And we see it in today's first reading. He has a pretty disappointing experience at Athens and decides to go to Corinth. He gets there, joy. He meets some tent makers, some people he can actually talk to. They're Jews, they follow the same trade, he can stay with them. They're believers in Jesus Christ. So this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, it just gave Paul a break. He could stay in somebody's house. And while he's staying with them and working as a tent maker, this is one of the few mentions of Paul's trade as a tent maker, because we think of him as an apostle, a Pharisee, expert preacher, missionary. We don't think of him as, you know, doing something to support himself, but this is what he was doing until Silas and Timothy show up, his companions, and they must have been providing for him, because it says after they showed up, then he devoted himself full time to preaching the word. So this is his mission and he's happy to do it. But he again runs into opposition, especially from the Jews. And this happens so often. Proclaiming the word, people oppose him. Now, they don't violently expel him from the town, but they are opposing him, reviling him. And so it says here, he shook out his garments, something like shaking the dust from his feet. But it takes no more responsibility for them. And he says, your blood be on your heads. It sounds like a terrible thing to say. But he's putting the responsibility where it belongs. I'm not to blame here. I'm giving you the truth. If you don't want it, well, that's on you. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. He goes to the Gentiles, and many, many Gentiles welcome the word. So there's that experience. Grief, the grief of his own people refusing the truth, yields to the joy of the Gentiles welcoming the gospel. And this sort of thing happens again and again and again. Like every day. Every day something goes wrong. Every day something goes right. Every day we have to sacrifice something that we would prefer would be other different. And every day the Lord does something good. And it's always a little while. Because our whole life is a little while by comparison to eternity. So as we continue this pilgrimage of hope, pilgrimage of faith, we keep our focus on not just the little while experiences that we have, the ups and downs, but we focus on the permanent, the unchanging, the eternity of God, who always wants us to rejoice. So the end of the game is always rejoicing, even if for a little while we don't experience it. And that might be what we're going through right now. So if you're in a period of grief, keep going. Don't give up, because your grief will become joy.